that you've gotten to stay inside, if that was your choice, because it's really hot out there. I trimmed a bush today. That was about the extent of my outside work, and I did a pretty good job. Last time I trimmed a bush, I ended up ripping it out of the ground, because apparently you don't trim it completely, I've been told. So that's what happened. I also went to the gym today, and I know you're thinking, man, he's wasting his money, and I am, but I got my money's worth out of it today because I got 3.5 miles and I got a devotion out of it. So I figure, hey, it was a win today, and I'm 3.5 miles in better shape than I was yesterday, so we'll go with it. So our devotion tonight is wrapped around that. I was on the treadmill for a significant amount of time. A guy like me, we don't run 3.5 miles fast, and so I had a lot of thinking time, and I was looking around the gym, and I was noticing how hard everybody was working in the gym, and they were. Sometimes it doesn't happen. Sometimes you got your mirror guys that go in there and they hit a rep and then they flex and it didn't change, but they think it did because those are good mirrors. And so today was an exceptionally good group of workers, except for one guy. He was swole, as the young guys call it, and he was really getting it together. But he was watching videos the whole time, so I tried to see what the video was, because I think that's what was working for him, because he didn't do any work. But I couldn't find the video, so I'm going to continue to look like this. But anyway, I was thinking about physical fitness and the work that goes into being physically fit. And there's a lot of significant impact. By the way, there's a few of you. Janet Rose and I share the same gym. Just so you know, it's going better for her than me and Brad. He goes there too, but they go. You know, it's a little different. The service is like a cleaning service. They come to your house and they clean, and the tax service, they do your taxes and fitness. They expect you to go there and work. So that's why it hasn't gone so well for me. But anyway, so I was thinking, you know, the benefits of that. You feel better in life. You feel more comfortable, more confident in many cases, especially if you work in a field where strength is important, where endurance is important. You feel a lot more confident. And so I thought, as I was kind of thinking about how that works, about spiritual fitness and what our spiritual fitness really means for us. Because there's a lot of really important things that physical fitness does for us, including many times prolonging life and having a better life. But there's a lot of things that spiritual fitness does for us too. And so I want to hit three things, not an exhaustive list, but I don't have a lot of time. So we'll hit three things and a couple of examples to go along with those that being spiritually fit does for us. Number one, being spiritually fit helps us in difficult times. When we're spiritually fit, when times get difficult in our lives, we have a means to get through those. And I thought back as I was considering that into the book of Job. And you think about Job. Why Job? I thought about him because Job was in the predicament that he was in verse 1, because he was so devout. Because he loved God so much. Why did Satan choose Job? He said, God, you're protecting Job. No wonder he serves you. Paraphrasing that. And so Job was so devout that Satan then goes to God and God gives him some free rein in dealing with Job. And so what happens in chapter 1? He loses his possessions. He loses his possessions. He loses so much in chapter 1. But here's what's interesting. Because Job was spiritually fit, because Job had a significant understanding and a significant love for God, in Job chapter 1, beginning of verse 20, it says, "Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, Naked I came from my mother's womb and naked shall I return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. What did Job say here? Job said, "Everything that I have is from God. The reason I'm here is because God placed me here." And so as he is having this difficult time, and undoubtedly as he had a perfect time to be down and out and sad and depressed, Job comes back and says, "Hey, everything I have comes from God. Every good thing has always come from God. This too, I will make it through." And in verse 22 it says, he did not sin. I think that's significant. So then Satan's not finished. As you know, we go into chapter 2, and then he begins to lose some special people. Some important people, some family members in his life. At this point, you really see that Job has lost a whole lot. Still got his wife. Still got some friends. That's about it. But in verse 9, his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Shall we receive good from God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. In the hardest of times, Job was spiritually fit enough to be able to reflect upon all the good that he's been given, to have an understanding of all the good things and the fact that all those good things come from God. Spiritual fitness, number one, gets us through hard times. Spiritual fitness, number two, helps us to stand for our faith. It helps us to stand up for our faith when others don't want us to. And I thought back here to Daniel. And Daniel, in several occasions, we could have gone with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as well. We're going to for a second at the beginning. He had to stand for his faith, didn't he? And it was because he was spiritually fit, because he was well-versed in God's will and well-focused on God, that he was successful in standing for his faith. And in chapter 1, beginning of verse 5, we see here kind of an introduction in this chapter to how things are going to go for them. The king assigned them a daily portion of food that the king ate and of the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. Among these were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah of the tribe of Judah. And the chief eunuchs gave them names. Daniel he called Belshazzar. Hananiah he called Shadrach. Mishael he called Meshach. And Azariah he called Abednego. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, "I fear my lord the king who assigned your food and your drink. For why should he see that you were in worse condition than the youths who are of your own age? So you would endanger my head and the king." Then Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, "Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink." So he says, "Hey, I tell you what, I can't do the king's meat. Do us a favor. Let us eat what we would eat. Give us what God desires that we eat." And the chief of the eunuchs says, "Well, I can't do that. You're going to get me killed. I can't have you being a little puny guy over here because I got to have you be powerful for the king." And he said, "Just let me do this. I promise you, God will see us through." And significantly enough, in verse 20, "And in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in all his kingdom." What happened? He was spiritually fit. He had faith in God. He had an understanding of God's will and God's desire, and he followed it. And as a result, exactly what he told them would happen, happened. They came out stronger and better than anyone. Then you go over to Daniel chapter 6, just for a second. We know this, Daniel and the lions. And Daniel is told that he can't pray. Daniel doesn't go out in the middle of the street, but he follows his routine, knowing that they're going to be watching him, knowing that all these people had created this problem because they knew how spiritually fit he was and that he wouldn't give up speaking to God. And in verse 10, here's what Daniel does. "When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he had done previously." So Daniel was spiritually fit. Daniel knew that part of that spiritual fitness was to continue to love God no matter his situation, no matter his circumstance. He knew God's will, and he knew the God we had would see us through. We know that later in chapter 6, although Darius was not thrilled by this, we know Daniel was versed enough in the law that he undoubtedly knew this could not be unchanged. And Darius was clear that he could not change it. And so Darius does end up having to follow through with his promise. Daniel goes into the lions, but we know that Daniel comes out alive. But what was Daniel's understanding? He was spiritually fit enough to know one of two things would happen. God would see him through it, or he would die and something better waited for him. That's a significant thing we see here in the book of Daniel. Thirdly, because my time is up, being spiritually fit helps us to walk with focus. Had a little trouble here with naming this point, walking with focus or walking with hope, because I think it's both. I think as we walk our daily life, we can walk with hope because we know we have a God who loves us, won't leave us, and is sending Christ Jesus back for us. So we walk with that hope, and it's because of that hope we walk with that focus. We walk with a focus in our lives to know that when we get into Scripture, we become stronger Christians, we become closer to God every day. Romans 1:16 says, find it, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Romans 12:1-2 says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. If I want to know how to walk my life in a way of focus, I got to get into the Word. I got to dig into it. I got to be passionate about it. And I got to strive to become more and more spiritually focused every day. And this will help me to do that. That guy's pretty strong in the gym, but he's not going to be able to lift his way. I'm sure he can do a pull-up. He's not going to be able to pull himself up to heaven. Spiritual fitness is what gets us there. Spiritual fitness is what drives us to heaven, because we study, we become stronger, we stay more focused, and we stay on the path that takes us to heaven. My hope is that we will all together strive to be spiritually fit, and most importantly, that you are spiritually fit in the fact that you've chosen to serve God. If you haven't done that, today is the very best time to do that. Right now, we focus today on our freedoms. Focus on the freedoms that we have in this country. There's no greater freedom than the freedom from sin that is given to us through obedience to God. We're told in Scripture to believe in Him, Mark 16:16, to repent of our sins, Acts 17:30, to confess Christ, Romans 10:9-10, and to be baptized for the remission of our sins, Acts 2:38. Acts 22:16 says, and now why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized, and wash away your sins. If you have sins in your life, you've never chosen to serve God, you need those sins washed away. Do it before you walk out these doors, knowing that you are going to heaven. Maybe you've fallen off that road, maybe you've not been what you need to be in this life. Need the prayers of the congregation. Made some public mistakes. Just need the encouragement of the congregation, whatever that need may be. We offer this time now, but it never ends. The invitation never closes, and the opportunity is always there. But our hope is that everyone who is in this room right now leaves together with the hope and the promise that heaven awaits us no matter what happens throughout our lives. If we can help you in any way, would you come as we stand and sing?
For the cleansing power, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Now dismissed to your classes.